I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And welcome back to our Star Wars celebration coverage. If you're just downloading in, we are covering the entire weekend, all the things that I do and say, the people I meet with the Star Wars Celebration blog pods. Now, I've started a new episode in the middle of the day because we're about to go into the How to Podcast Like a Jedi Master panel. Andy from the Star Wars Podcast Awards will be hosting, and I'll be on the panel with a bunch of my favorite people that I've met through Star Wars podcasting. So people wanted it recorded so they could hear it. So if you are new to the Steel Wars podcast and you've just come to hear the panel, welcome. Please check out some of our other entries from Celebration. We've actually got interviews, very quick and fun interviews with Kathleen Kennedy, Daisy Ridley, Ryan Johnson, John Boyega, and Kelly Marie Tran on a previous ep. And we'll have more conversations with people we meet throughout the weekend. I'm really excited about this. So let's see how it goes.
All right. Well, welcome. Hello. And welcome to Star Wars Celebration 2017. How are you guys having fun? You enjoying it? Fantastic. I don't know about you, but I'm still wiping away tears. My eyes might be a little red from this morning. That trailer was absolutely incredible. Well, I want to thank you all for coming today. This is a an interesting panel that we're doing. It's a how to start podcasting. Now, in the audience, how many of you already have a podcast?
Woo!
Fantastic. Nice. How many of you are interested in making one? And that's exactly what I wanted to see. Well, we've gathered here today a bunch of so much talent from so many different backgrounds, and we're going to be going over everything from the nitty-gritty of like technical things to like what you need to actually record them, to actually going into more just personal stories about how they got into podcasting and what it means to us in that situation. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to introduce our panel. We have a lot of people here, but I want you guys to your name, the show that you currently are hosting, and what was the show that inspired you to get into podcasting. Start with you, Steel.
Wow, my name's Steel Saunders. I do a show called Steel Wars, and it's weird. I think the show that inspired me to do a Star Wars podcast was Mark Maron's WTF. And because I just thought that'd be a cool thing to like take that and put into Star Wars. So yeah, it's not, I guess, the normal answer, but then Amanda thinks it is because that's her answer as well.
A little bit. Hi, my name is Amanda Ward. I am a co-host on Rebel Girl. And yeah, I was kind of also inspired by Mark Maron and also a little bit David Letterman. I just wanted to be able to talk about things I like. So, that's all.
Yeah. I'm Steph. I co-host Rogue Podrin, Blaster Cannon, and something else that I've forgotten. Winston Reaches, yeah.
That was a very helpful heckle.
Thank you.
Good one.
I actually got inspired to do Star Wars podcasting by making Star Wars, so this guy here, because I just really liked the chemistry they had, and I was like, these guys are cool, I want to do this kind of thing, because it's rad, so, yeah.
My name's Randy LaGiudice. I co-host Now This Is Podcasting, and I produce that show, and as well, Rebel Girl.
Hi, everybody. My name's Riley, and I'm the guy whose fault it is for the Star Wars Report. So I do the Star Wars Report podcast. You know, it's a, as far as podcasting inspiration, it's a tough one because there are a ton that I really want to list. None of it is worth your time, but I will say this. The world of Star Wars podcasting in 2011 was when I started, and I thought, man, there's so many. Why would anyone ever listen to me? There's so many podcasts out there already. And turns out I was totally wrong, and if you're thinking that today, you are too.
So, like, podcasting itself, I think from all of us, it starts from just a basic passion. Every single one of you in here has something that you are passionate about Star Wars, and you could talk about it for hours. If, like, you got yourself rolling, like, you would go on and on and on. Now, the thing about podcasting is you're sharing that voice to a very professional-looking medium, which is then accessible, and then things like this happen, where you can actually have people that it's real humbling when you actually see the people in front of you that listen to what you have to say. So the thing about Star Wars is it's very broad. There's so much to Star Wars. And the thing about podcasts is each podcast here has a unique voice, a unique way of the way that they look at Star Wars itself. Whether it be focusing on like diversity or literature or what have you, there's always something that sets it apart from every other podcast out there. A little bit of backstory of myself. Last year I did the Star Wars Podcast Awards again this year. And I did we collected, with my colleague Mike, we collected a list of every podcasters out there. And there was about 250 or so, 300 active Star Wars podcasts in 2016. And in the end, of course, in the podcast awards, there was only like 14 categories, 14 were fan voted. But it always goes down to, it doesn't matter that it's intimidating, it's just whatever your unique voice is, it'll then come out. And I wanted to go over for Steel, for example, I want you to talk about what makes your show different and how did you go into it thinking that this is going to be different from the other shows that are out there?
Okay. I listened to, like, before I started Star Wars podcasting, I did I still do a comedy podcast back home in Australia. And I listened to tons of Star Wars podcasts, like, just so many. And I wanted to talk about it, but I was like, well, all these guys sort of have it covered, so what am I going to do? And so I thought I'd do a podcast, a Star Wars podcast for people that don't listen to Star Wars podcasts. So to talk to people about their stories, like in like being fans and how it relates to their life, and like try to find like celebrities back home and people of interest that could just talk about Star Wars sort of the way Marc Maron interviews people. And like, my wife loves Star Wars, but she would never listen to a Star Wars podcast because it's too intricate. So I thought I'd make something that was sort of funnier or concentrate on being funny and not so, you didn't have to know like who IG-88 was, like just simple things like that we probably everyone in the room takes for granted. So it was sort of just to like show how fun being a Star Wars fan was and without having to know like the intricacies. And like it's gone on to where we do shows that sort of do more of that, but the basic premise was to like show the wider world that like being a Star Wars fan is like super fun and that there's some like an amazing array of Star Wars fans out there. So that was sort of the thing to like, I thought like all the news ones, I was like, well, I like this show, they do a good job, what can I do that's like different? So that was genesis of the Steel Wars podcast.
I think we tried to create something that filled a niche that I thought was necessary. We've only been doing it for a couple of years, but in Star Wars, especially in fandom, like women's issues have been a really big thing for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. There's a lot of things that we've been discussing, and I felt like I wanted something where we could talk about those sorts of things, as well as just talk about Star Wars in general and feminism, but make it accessible for everyone. So men, women, feminists, and non-feminists, and just do it in a really casual way that didn't feel like preachy or like too technical. So yeah, we just tried to make something that was like super casual and fun and felt like a conversation, but about important issues.
Now, one thing I'm curious from some of the people on the stage here, you guys all have, most of you have like people that you talk with, you have your co-hosts. I want to know a bit from you, Saf, how did you choose your co-host for some of the shows that you do, like Rogue Podron? Where did that come through so that you can make your show unique with the people that you're doing with?
Rogue Podron was an interesting one because I was there from the start. Most of the other podcasts I have been brought on to after they've kind of been around. Rogue Pod was my co-host Danny's idea. It was his brainchild, and he messaged me at some point and was like, I want to do a podcast where we read the Rogue Podron books with somebody who knows about the books. Not Rogue Podron.
Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. And so we kind of got a team together. We got our friend Meg, because she read the books and we loved her. And then we took a while to figure out who our fourth person would be, because we were like, we want someone who we know will like a lot and we'll have fun with. And then I think one of us was like, what about Heath? Heath's awesome, who is in the audience at the moment. And because all of us we're all really, like, opinionated people. We all care a lot about, like, representation and diversity. We all have senses of humor. And so we kind of put it together through that. Like, we did genuinely think about who to bring on and how to make it, like, a good podcast with, like, a good voice. And, yeah, it was nice being able to do that.
To continue on, I mean, let's say when you're making a show, you choose your topic of what you wanted to talk about, which is Star Wars, and then a bit more into maybe feminism or making it something more accessible or making it something completely unique, like reading Rogue Squadron books going in blank. I mean, that's something that you don't really see in like a podcast, and now here we are. I want to know from Randy what we're looking at for. Whenever you're building your podcast, one of the first things you're looking for is a name. And in the process of making Star Wars, now this podcasting, and now Rebel Girl, which you did with Amanda as well, what was the process behind the name part?
It's so tough coming up with a name for a podcast. That's like one of the first things. You're like, I want something that's really, really cool. I want it to be original. I don't want it to sound... I want something that everyone can... necessarily get. I'm not sure if we necessarily got that, but now this is podcasting from the Phantom Menace. It was unique. It stuck with us. We enjoyed it. And yeah.
It took like a year to get it.
I remember there were one day she was on the show and she was Skyping through, and then all of a sudden we were doing the intro. She's all, I get it. Yeah. Like, we get what?
It was like a year later.
She's all, I get the name of your show. I think you've been on this show for like 40 episodes now. You get it now?
Oh man, I was gonna say I just got it then as a joke.
I still don't.
I am not the brightest person.
You know, Andy, it's funny you mentioned that because it just made me think in terms of naming. For the genesis of the Star Wars Report was a very short-lived monthly show that I was just gonna test the waters in. It was like in high school at the time. I was like, you know what we're gonna call it? We're going to talk about the news, and we're going to call it the Bothan Report.
Oh,
right?
No.
It's going to be like, it's going to be the spies. This is like, and then I very quickly realized over
the course of that. We're going to die, Bethany!
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, A, we're in trouble now. B, also, not exactly straightforward. So I learned something a little bit about just making an easy access point for the podcast. It's like, you know what? Let's make this weekly, and also let's just put Star Wars in the title, maybe. That might be a good thing.
Yeah. The original name of my podcast was This Isn't the Podcast You're Looking For, because I didn't think, like, Star Wars fans would like it. So it was like, I know a lot of people have the tagline of This Is the Podcast You're Looking For, and so I thought that'd be, like, a funny thing. And then after about 3 weeks, I got so sick of saying the title and, like, explaining to people. So then I... begrudgingly changed. I didn't want to have my name in it, and then people just like, just do it, and it sort of worked out.
Because that's one of the important things about making the name of your show is it also has to like have like a nice ring to it, like alliteration and things. Like, and it has to, honestly, it has to look good in like a Twitter handle, I think. Like, yeah. If you want to have it like, to be honest, now this is podcasting, your Twitter handle sucks. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because it's so long. The name is so long. You can't.
Did this just become an intervention?
Is this why I was brought up here? So we can change my Twitter handle? What's going on?
I think so.
At the end of the podcast, he's going to hand out stickers.
If, yeah,
your Twitter handle
pass
sucks.
Me a new design. It's like when you go to like Norm's, the kids like crayon, each person's going to have a new design for my show. Great.
But I love the perspective, like Bothan Report, of course, like not every stuff, like a lot of, you want to think about in The Force Awakens, that introduced Star Wars to a lot of people who might not have seen it before, and they don't want to get bogged down by things like Bothans, like they have no idea what Bothans are, so you want to be as open, as accessible as possible, and Star Wars Report is why that happened there. I want to talk a bit about the music of a show, like the intro themes and things. Between you guys, which one of you actually wrote the music for your intros, like the actual intro singers? Now, how did you get it to happen then? If Riley, if you didn't write it, who did? And then how did you get them to do it?
I did what all good podcasters did and asked a buddy if I could use his song. No, it's funny. Actually, I there's this song that I'd liked for a long time by this band High Adventure, and it's called Farm Boy. And this sort of poetic story of Star Wars that's told kind of in code that if you're a fan, of course, you understand what it is. And it has this super corny refrain. And I just used that in the podcast for like a year, and they're like, hey, by the way, Glenn, are you cool with this? And fortunately, he was, and it turned out to be like the most divisive thing about my entire podcast. It doesn't matter what I say during it, is people either love or absolutely hate that song.
That's the part I always struggle with most, is getting the intro theme, because I'll try to do it, and then it'll sound bad, and then I'll hear something else that someone else did, but then I'm too scared to ask them, so then it's this old, like, problem. So we've gone just a quick background about making a name, getting your intro theme from good friends, I guess. And then I want to go into the more nitty-gritty of the technical. In terms of podcasting, anyone can do it. All of you have a voice, and all you need is, you could do this with a phone. You just need something with a microphone and a recording software, whether it be like Skype or actual recording software itself. Randy, I'm looking to you. What is your starting point for, like, what was the first microphone you had? Like, how did you start your first podcast?
The first podcast mic that we bought for the show was I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen it. It's the Blue Yeti. It's like a condenser, right? It's a really popular microphone. The only problem with it is that if you're recording in a room, it picks up everything. So you have to have a room that's treated for it. You have to have people that know their distance between the mic. Really pain. So we went to dynamic mics eventually, and there's a lot of really cheap options for that now that are a lot better, in my opinion.
Now, for those of us that don't know, can you explain a dynamic mic versus...
A dynamic versus a condenser. A condenser mic picks up a whole 360-degree area, so you get the air conditioner up there, you rubbing your feet on the carpet down there, and you talking into the mic, whereas a dynamic mic is picking up only this area right here. So that's why they're better for rooms that aren't necessarily treated that well, or if you don't have the best mic technique, you're only going to get this over here. But if you pull away from here, not so much. So, yeah.
I when I was getting into podcasting, there was this website. It's still there. It's called the Podcast Answer Man. And it's like a guy that did a podcast about how to do a podcast. And I think I paid maybe $50 or something to do like a tutorial. Got to sort of be cheaper to do that than like Google for like 4 weeks. And he sort of, I just wanted to know the bare minimum, like when Randy talks about like the technical stuff, I'm just like, I have no idea what any of that is. But I just like read his website and bought the things that he said to get and set the knobs at the place he said to set them. So that's a really good like resource if you want to learn about the technical, like if you want to be like me and have no idea what you're doing. Podcastanswerman.com.
Fantastic. And now I'm curious, Saf, what do you use for recording?
It was really nice because I had some terrible mic that I got ages back that I was sick of, and so I was trying to save up for a new one. And last Christmas, my friends all pitched in and bought me a Rode Podcaster mic. I don't remember which one it was, but it's, so yeah, I have this like Rode mic, which is like big, way bigger than what I'm used to, so I always knock it over when I'm podcasting because I have it balanced like precariously on my computer. So if you've listened to a podcast, you hear just like something full, that's why.
I think the Blue Yeti, though, is like a go-to for just starting. It's a fantastic mic. It's not too expensive. It's very easy to use. It's literal plug and play. And then you don't need these fancy knobs and things. I mean, that's for more advanced things. I do know some of you guys record locally. Like, you're in the house and you're doing it together. For those of you that don't, can you talk a bit about how you podcast with people internationally or further away?
So I guess I use a couple of different things depending on the podcast I'm doing. Mostly, we podcast over Skype, and someone has like a recorder that picks up the whole call, and so they just get all of us. But sometimes, I think for Western Reaches, both Megan and I record locally on our computer, so we both record an Audacity file and then get it edited together later on. And it's definitely a lot more fun recording, like, with somebody else, because you can always read their cues and know when they're going to talk. It's a bit more frustrating recording with no video or anything, because then you just talk over people all the time, and it's kind of, but it's still nice.
Yeah, I always, when I do it on the internet, I always hesitate to do the video because I'm worried it's going to take up bandwidth.
Yeah, especially like in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah. I just used like a USB mic to do the Skype ones, and then I bought a little app called like Voice Recorder that records the Skype. And then I do another show, which is like a live call-in show, which is sort of like talkback radio for Star Wars fans. And I do that through Blog Talk Radio, and you pay a subscription a month and you get like a little... like a panel where people call in, and there's a number and you can like click people through and take calls, and you never know who's going to call in, and it's really fun. So they're the two main ways. But I just use like the USB mic was like it wasn't over $50.
Yeah, you can get some really cheap USB mics.
I don't know.
I don't know if you guys remember. I know there was an app that came out recently as a website where you each record through it.
Oh, Zencaster?
Yeah, we
use that for Western Reaches now, and it's really good. You have to pay for it, but it records everyone on the website and then uploads it to like Dropbox or something, and it's really handy for getting everyone's channels and everything.
Because if I remember correctly, because I've never done a podcast locally, it's always done over Skype, and it's always that problem of somebody's audio will always be higher than another person. And that Zencaster will allow you to, every single person will have their own track, and then you can edit it accordingly, if I'm not mistaken. So something like that, I know, is a godsend for...
It's got, like, a good thing as well for, we never use the feature, but, like, it's got a little feature where you can, like, push to, like, raise your hand, basically, like, fake raise your hand so people know you want to talk, which can be good if you, like, don't have video and you want to say something but you don't want to interrupt.
Or you just had your hand cut off at the end of a Star Wars film.
That's why I haven't used it. I'm scared.
But yeah, Star Wars Minute, which is like an awesome Star Wars podcast where they analyze the films a minute at a time, they use the Zencaster thing. And when I listen, it sounds like everyone's in the same room.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, once you've recorded, there's the editing process. Now... Riley, I want you to tell me a bit about how do you make a show engaging after you've had a long spiel? Sometimes those shows go on for like 2 hours of just talking. How do you make it down to something that is listenable for a podcasting medium?
Yes, it's it's taken years, like literally years. And I have, Riley has a really, really strong opinion on this. You have no idea how excited I am to have this question. Because all production and all, any show that you do is entirely up to you how you want that show to sound, and I think 90% of that can be nailed to the personality and process, those two things. And so when you come to process, the production of your show, in my less than humble opinion, should be live to hard drive, as in you're recording as if you're having an actual conversation. If I'm talking to Randy, I'm saying, Randy, I really enjoyed the Last Jedi trailer. I thought the scene with Luke, sorry, let me edit that out.
Exactly, yeah.
No, don't do that. Just, it feels awkward at first, but editing can easily, especially as a new podcaster, be a crutch. It certainly was for me. And so I always give myself a time limit. My show will be between 45 minutes and an hour. I hit it like maybe every other week, but I give myself that limit because I know that I'm being self-indulgent if I'm going too long, but that's my responsibility to do in the moment as if it were a conversation. If it's a conversation, I'm not going to just talk on and on and on like I am right now. So I will now shut up, but I do feel really strongly because if you force yourself to treat this as live radio and to push past your mistakes live and leave them in, it feels weird, but it's just a much more natural, and I think it respects your listener a little bit more.
I think you get better at it, too. Like, yes. I've definitely gotten a lot better at, like, not saying a lot or, like, freezing up kind of while I was talking. I was a lot clunkier at podcasting when I started. And, yeah, like, the more you do it, the better you get at it, and then the easier it is to talk.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate that I get to co-host in a room with my co-host because we live locally. But it really does not only just help you get better at podcasting, but I think it makes your show more accessible to your audience too, because they feel like they're part of the conversation when you are doing that, like, sort of off the cuff, just natural discussion and trying not to edit. Like, I don't think we've ever had an edit on my show.
There was one time.
One time.
Differing opinion.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
when I started doing the comedy podcast, and probably because it's like, you know, you're doing off the cuff jokes and stuff, I was like, well, if these people are going to spend an hour of their week with me, I should maybe spend a couple of hours making that as pleasurable as possible. And like, I understand Riley's point of view, but I always like to listen back and make everyone sound a little bit better and just edit out a thing. Sometimes like the guests might and ah a little bit, and I'd like to make my guests like as sharp as possible, present them in the most positive manner. And I also find listening back and editing, if I had a real like issue.
Yep.
I grew up consuming all this California culture in Australia, and I like to like. And listening back to hours of me throw that in and having to edit it out has sharpened the way I talk. So you could, you know, there's one point of view where it's like having the mistakes helps you learn, but then having to listen back to your mistakes, like that makes you like very self-aware. So it's like there's no like right way, but there's that differing thing. And definitely on the call-in show, I like just to have a quick glaze over it, because when people call in, they sometimes are like super excited and just want to talk over Amanda like every 4 seconds.
Now, speaking of like doing a recording, like I want to know some software. So you said the software, what was the name of that software for incoming calls during a show?
That's Blog Talk Radio. That's not so much software, it's more a website platform. But I use, to edit it, I use Audition, which is an Audible, Adobe, sorry. Yeah. It's an Adobe.
That's a paid software, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you guys at the end? What do you guys use for editing?
Also Audition.
Yeah, I use Audition too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Audition.
But Audacity is a great free alternative to get your fingers wet.
And GarageBand, which comes free with like every Mac. So like that's where like a lot of people start out. Yeah.
Yeah, I know GarageBand's a good starting point. Audacity as well, which is free for PC and Mac. And then Audition for, I mean, think more intensive edits.
Yeah, it really depends on what you need. If you have just two people that you're trying to mix down, then Audacity kind of does a trick.
Yeah, I just use Audition because I have the Adobe suite and I know Adobe really well. And whenever I try and use Audacity, I always ruin everything.
Yeah. Well, and I think, as speaking of software, one last piece that I do really like as a podcaster that I recommend is Audition has a tool, but if you don't have Audition, Levelator is a free tool that just automatically levels. It's not perfect, but especially if you're starting out and you want to get used to the idea of keeping audio level. It's funny you said that, Steele. Actually, like, I also, as podcasters, I think it'd be interesting to see on the table. I might be the only one, but I do like to also go back and listen to the show after I've published, or even before I publish, and just depending on how confident I feel about it, and get a sense for it, because things like Levelator or how you process it in Audition, it is really important to have that level consistent.
Yeah, I never listen for any enjoyment. Like, it's torturous.
Yeah.
And
speaking with your accent.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
All right, this is now a panel on racism in Star Wars. Wow, I'm glad you could take your white pointy hood off for a few minutes.
I'm sorry.
Dude, if you want to play.
No, I don't.
I want to add to this, but I like where this is going. This is much better.
No, go on.
I was going to say, as far as, I'm the same way. I listen back to everything just because there's the difference between what you record on your headphones, your monitors, whatever it is you're mixing down on, and most people are listening into their car or earbuds. So what you're mixing down to trying to make sound a certain way, 9 out of 10 times, is not going to sound the same way by the person you're actually making it for. And as far as like Levelator, things like that, trying to get the level set up, always trying to find the most efficient way to get to the same end is always something I've tried to do with the mix. And you have to listen to everything.
That's an awesome point. Like, the vast majority of people are probably going to be listening through Apple headphones. And so that's probably a good way to listen back, like through that sort of like bass headphone. That's what you should be aiming for. And like things like having it in stereo and stuff, it's sort of, it's probably too much.
I think a good thing you brought that up, because you'll edit it usually with nicer headphones than someone will normally listen to it in. A good habit is listening it to in your car because that's where a lot of people will listen to podcasts, and listening it to those Apple earpods. I mean, those are the two most used areas, and if it doesn't sound good there, then your show doesn't sound good, and then no one's going to listen to it. So that's just key. You can edit it and make it sound beautiful with beautiful speakers, but you always want to make sure the consumer who's actually going to be listening to it actually has something that sounds good. Now, I wanted to move into more the show itself, the content. Specifically, a lot of you have your co-hosts, but sometimes you bring on guests to make the show a little special. Like you just had, I think, Stephen Senton just not too long ago. Can you talk a bit about how you got some guests onto your show, especially like Lucasfilm guests, such as actors and voice actors and things like that?
And it's not content, it's hashtag content. I just have to correct you. Just keep to the hashtags. I don't know, I write a good email. So I just, like, and a lot of the times if you find out, I don't know, it's different because my podcast, I was trying to find people that you wouldn't know were into Star Wars, that were into Star Wars. So they were, a lot of people were quite sort of flattered or interested in that idea. Because like there's this thing, like famous people like talking about things that they're not famous for. Like, do you know what I mean? Like a great actor wants to be told how good a singer they are. It's this really strange phenomenon. And like with Stanton, I don't know. Stanton's just so active in like on Twitter and stuff. Like he's such a good ambassador for Star Wars that, yeah, he just started interacting and he just followed me on Twitter one day and mucking around. Actually, the first time I ever spoke to him, he like, we're doing the call-in show. And he direct messaged me just like, I'm calling in on this number. And like Grand Moff Tarkin called into the show. And like, we were like, yeah, it was quite strange. And yeah, so sometimes like we'll be doing the call-in show and we'll get a transmission from Admiral Raddus. And I'm normal talking to him, but when he does a character voice, it's like, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
I was going to say I have nothing to contribute. I'm sorry.
On We Still Reaches, we get guests semi-regularly. We had Alex Freed, who wrote a couple of the Star Wars books. We got him by emailing him and not going through Lucasfilm, because technically we got him on to talk about stuff that wasn't Star Wars, which is a sneaky way to do it, but it worked. The best way to do it really is just to email like their publisher, like their PR or whatever, or just email them and just be like, hey, I'm doing a podcast and we'll talk about this, would you be keen to come on? And usually they will, because they like talking about stuff, especially if like you let them decide what they want to talk about. Sometimes they just want to be told, but it's, people are lovely, like they like talking to people, and like especially in the Star Wars community, they love fans. So yeah
also with like other Star Wars podcasters, like sometimes it, like there seems like there's like groups, like whether it's a podcast network or a group of podcasts that sort of like podcast with each other and go on each other's shows. And I sort of had this thing where I listened to all these different shows and I kind of like, I thought it would be interesting just to extend the family tree so they all, like if you had like a diagram of like this person went on that, like to just to have like this wide variety of podcasts that sort, was sort of all linked. I just thought that was like a really interesting thing to do, is to have maybe a podcast where that person from that podcast and that person on that podcast have never been on the same podcast, whether it's not the same time or not. But I don't know, I just took some satisfaction from that it was like this conduit of like all these different podcasts sort of thing. Like everyone's got friends and stuff, but I think the whole clicky group where it gets too far is just like super lame. So yeah,
that's like pretty interesting, man. I don't understand what you just said. Like a mashup?
No, keep digging.
We never have interviews on our show. We tried to do interviews early on for authors, and we just found that it just wasn't like our kind of show. Like, why are we actually doing interviews? Are we doing it because we want to pull in people to a show that we aren't necessarily aren't? And then we stopped doing them altogether. It's too much squeeze for the juice, I guess.
And that's an interesting way of looking at it, because like that has slowly kind of become our philosophy as well. I think the philosophy for the Star Wars Report is more and more over time, to do an interview, you want to have a good reason to do it. And I would find myself trying to schedule, like, I'm going to try to get a big guest every week. And I would spend much more time and energy doing that than I was, is this show good? Is the content something people are interested in? Because especially when it comes to Lucasfilm guests, I think sometimes it can be cool to have someone on, but if it's listeners and someone who does like appearing on podcasts and has been on a lot, stop and think, is this something that your listeners already heard many, many times? And sometimes that is the case, sometimes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It isn't, but it is something to think about.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, one of the most download ones I've done over the past few months was my friend Callum, who had never seen any Star Wars films. And so I thought it'd be an interesting experiment to take someone that hadn't seen a Star Wars film to see Rogue One and try to work out what's going on. And so, like, that's like technically the worst guest on a Star Wars podcast ever. But the concept people found interesting, so it went really well.
Yeah, we always aim for listener reaches to get guests that we genuinely want to talk to about something. Like, Alex Freed made sense for us because we both love Twilight Company a lot. Yeah, it's just people that we want to have a conversation with. We don't aim for big guests because, you know, they wrote that book or they were in that movie, because we might not enjoy talking to them, and that's what we want.
From experience, I do know for some Lucasfilm guests, on some of my, like, the Rebels Report stuff, you would actually have a representative from Lucasfilm on the chat, not talking on mute, but listening to make sure that nothing was said that was out of place. And then those interviews sometimes can be more manufactured, like, responses to questions. And it's not something that, like, yeah, Riley was saying, something that is genuine. Maybe it's something that is new. Not so much. It's probably something that's been heard many times. And what makes you different from everyone else? Now, moving on to, once we've made our shows and we've done our name and we've done our recording, where do we put it? Where do we put our episodes? Who wants to start?
I'm all laying out this one.
In the cloud.
Cloud. Now, the thing about podcasting is, while it's free to listen to through, like, iTunes or whatever medium you use, majority of the time for the actual podcaster itself, you can still host them for free, but you might lose a little bit from it. So some of it does come out of your pocket to actually make sure that everyone can get it. Now, can you guys shed some light what you guys use for hosting?
Sure. For Now This Is Podcasting, we host on SoundCloud, which I really, really like, because they make it really easy to distribute your show, and it looks everywhere. It looks good everywhere you put it. But we do have to pay for that, for the unlimited storage, because if you don't do that, then they start kicking your files off. But for my show, Rebel Girl, we host that on our own server, which can be a really cheap option if you are familiar with that kind of thing, because you can buy really cheap hosting now just for storing files, like whether it's through Amazon or like a private host or something like that. And then you can use some other way to distribute it. Like, we run our website through WordPress and use a WordPress plugin called PowerPress to actually make the feed for the show and send that out to iTunes and whoever else. So there's lots of options. I know a lot of people use, like, Podbean and Libsyn. And
yeah, I started on Libsyn, but I now use an Australian company called Omni, but they're open to everyone, even New Zealanders. And they make it really simple. Like, it's quite, like, there's a button, like, submit podcast to iTunes, and it's quite, they've done a lot of the technical legwork and the coding stuff, and they generate a player for you, and the player's quite modern looking. So that's a good one as well.
I'm curious for, like, let's leave you at the end, like, what do you guys use for hosting? I guess you guys are all making Star Wars, but Riley, what do you use?
I don't recommend it, but in some ways I do. I do have a self-hosted WordPress site, and I actually upload my MP3 files to that, and then I do the WordPress plugin. If that sounded like I was just speaking Jawa, it's because I kind of was, and it took me a long time to figure out. And the tech and the tools when I started were still, there were some options, but they weren't very good. Now, SoundCloud, Libsyn, I think those are your two best. Or we'll give the Australian something on me, I guess.
Okay.
But all three are good. But yeah, and when it comes to hosting, it's not that expensive. Like, it's worth the investment.
Yeah. And I do know SoundCloud makes it look very nice, like in a Facebook feed or on a Twitter feed.
But the SoundCloud app is the worst.
Oh, the app is terrible.
I hate the app so
but
much.
Its embedding features is great.
Yeah.
Now, once, like a bit more into like the whole hosting part of it, you guys, I know some of you have your own podcast networks, some of you are making podcast networks. What's the benefit of either joining a podcast network or making one? If you want to speak to that.
Having a community. It's really nice having, like, because I'm part of, I think, 3 networks now. And it's just, it's really nice. Everyone's just your friend and you can talk to them and, like, ask for advice or, like, just chat to them about podcasting or anything you want. It's kind of like joining a little podcasting family, really, and it's lovely.
Yeah, and there's sort of two types of podcast networks. There's sort of, like the Making Star Wars one or like the one Saf's in. It's a bit more of just, you know, like-minded crew and we promote each other. And then there's like the podcast networks that sort of go out and find advertising for you and that sort of thing. So sometimes like the podcast network thing, it sounds more serious than it is sort of thing. Like Andy, you said like that we all like we don't upload in the podcast network to like the same, like we're all sort of just doing our own thing. Like I don't want my files anywhere near anything Johnny Grasso has got to do with. So yeah, there's two different types of podcast networks. So like Podcast One, which is like a really corporate, that's like where all like Stone Cold Steve Austin is and stuff like that. And when that's like totally different to like the majority of like the Star Wars ones, which is sort of just like, hey, we're friends, let's promote each other, we're all around this website sort of thing.
Yeah, I look at it more like a rock label, like where you have a bunch of bands that are kind of like-minded and you bring your audiences to their shows and vice versa, and everyone kind of just gets boosted up by being together and kind of having that same kind of like-mindedness.
Yeah, but comparing a podcast network to a rock label is that huge wishful thinking there.
He's talking about the network that won Best Network 2 years in a row, so you can check him out.
The network with ego problems.
You're one to talk, mister.
Now, like you did mention a bit like monetizing podcasts, one of the things. You guys, like Steel, you are known for your merchandising. You have some amazing merchandise. You're familiar with it. Have you heard of the Your Snoke's Theory Sucks?
Have you blogged negatively about... it was sort of like I had no choice. Like, someone said to me, like, oh, you come up with all these stuff. It's like, that's just... I couldn't... I just like making jokes about things. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's not like a real contrived thing. It's just like, oh, this joke's funny. I can put it in this font. And then I'll normally, like, mock it up and like WhatsApp it to Jason and see if he laughs at it, and then if he says it's funny, then I'm like, oh, I'll make it a sticker. But I did, when the Snoke Theory Sucks thing was, I was going to Celebration in London, and like normally people hand out like flyers and stuff, and I was just like, well, if I hand out flyers, I'm just going to see him on the ground for 3 days and it's going to bum me out. So I'll make something that people would want and find funny or highly offensive, unknowing to myself. And then people would just stick the sticker, and then down on a tiny bit of font, it would say, oh yeah, and listen to the podcast. So it was like a little, like it was the item that was like that people wanted. And then there was like a bit of advertorial at the bottom of that. And it like, it worked out like unbelievably well. It was thrilling how much it like just went, burr. It was crazy.
Merchandising is really fun because it is a way to sort of like get your name out there and get your podcast out there in a way that's not just like sitting on Twitter and Facebook all day and saying, please listen to my podcast. And there's really easy avenues too. I know most people now make t-shirts, and there's like a dozen great websites. Where am I messing up?
Do you want this?
Yeah.
There you go.
There's like a lot of good resources for making t-shirts, buttons, stickers, and it's all super easy. You just submit your own designs, and they handle the shipping and the printing and all that stuff. And you know, your fans can buy them directly through them. And I mean, Steel does all like his own stuff himself, and he like ships out stuff to people because he's crazy. I would never do that.
What are some of the resources you use for that?
TeePublic is where we make all of our t-shirts, and then this great website called Pure Buttons does really beautiful buttons, and I don't know where everyone else does things.
I think we use TeePublic. I'm not actually sure. Yeah, we use TeePublic.
Riley, can you talk a bit about like Patreon? Like, how does that help your show and
Sure. Patreon is like podcasters' gift from the gods. Like I was really skeptical about this at first. Like, you're really just gonna ask your listeners to give you money for something that you just do for free? Like, oh, I was trying to think of like, what could I do? I mean, maybe release more podcasts. I don't, but I already release podcasts. Why would anybody be interested? And then I stopped for a second and realized, wait, I pledge a lot of money to podcasters I like. And I wasn't even thinking about that. So basically what Patreon is it's a platform for you to support independent creators, whether they're artists, YouTubers, and of course podcasters. And it's a great way to support shows to the extent that the audience think the show's worth. And so I could go into a lot of detail on, like, you can set up levels and different ideas for rewards and how to do different ways of making it attractive. But really the number one thing about Patreon is, do you have a community there? It's funny, because still you were talking about the stickers and stuff, but it's not just about it being funny. The fact that you've made the joke on the show and you've talked about it, there's a community you've built, and there's an in-joke. To be an in-joke or to be a thing, you have to have a community. And that's, so if Patreon only works if it's not a bunch of people passively listening to a show and then forgetting about it. If you're engaging and you're talking to people on Twitter and they're emailing you and you're talking, that's a good sign that Patreon might be a good thing. If that's not happening, it might be the time to keep building up the audience and the interaction first.
And I want to know from you guys as well, once everything's done, you still have to get the shows out there.
Yeah.
Can you just talk a bit about sharing, social media, getting the name out there, getting your show out there. What do you guys do uniquely for your shows to make your voices heard?
We make fun of our fans. I'm kidding.
No.
We don't do that. We just have incessant tweeting, basically, is what we do.
Yeah.
Twitter's great. Like, and not just like, the show's available. The show's available. Here's the link. Here's the show's
direct.
No, actually, if you're interacting and just having conversations, especially, here's the hint, with other podcasters, and you're funny and engaging and making friendships on Twitter, because that's exactly what happens, you can jump on each other's podcasts, and it's a great way to cross-promote.
Yeah.
And that's like, speaking of community, that's the actual foundation of it. Like, that's the beginning.
Social media is great, but you can't just use it for just advertising. You have to, if you want to use social media to its best potential, you have to make it a community. You have to build like a personality around it and actually like talk to people, make friends with people, basically, or else you just look kind of like a cold-faced robot and nobody actually wants to listen to what you're talking. Like, if you just post like, our latest episode is out, listen to it now kind of thing, or in case you missed it, our episode's out, and that's your only feed, nobody's gonna follow
that. See him one.
Nobody cares. And it's like, make it your own and just make friends.
And speaking of Patreon and community, like, the Star Wars Report Patreon supporter meetup / dinner started 15 minutes ago. And I was terrible. And Andy was nice enough to ask me on here. And so I hosted a meetup. So I'm going to be good to the people who support me. And I'm going to have to bow out a couple minutes early. But Andy.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, man.
For your insight.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Start a podcast. Hey, and then send me a tweet. And then we'll get you on the show to promote your podcast.
Oh, well, there you go.
Do that.
Fancy promoting a competitive event at the same time. That is...
You have to pledge on patreon.com.
And then I know as well for your shows, like, a big part of it can be iTunes reviews and things like that. What is the importance of that, having a review on your show? And
self-esteem.
Yeah. No. It can help people find your show, like, the more ratings and reviews you get. But it's really hard to get people to review your show. Like, even if they love it, they hate writing reviews. It's the worst. Like,
people
write negative reviews, but, like, people who love your show, it is impossible to get them to do it. You can bribe them with whatever you want. They still will never do it because it's just, I don't even know why.
How many podcasts have you actually reviewed?
Hey, I've reviewed a bunch.
But I'm saying the average person doesn't really review podcasts.
No,
so when you're thinking like, oh, dude, they should be reviewing me, it's like,
I mean,
most people aren't going to spend like 10 minutes or 15 minutes to give this like four paragraph
review. I mean, like, it's a pain in the ass to do, which is why a lot of people don't do it. But it's just
But it doesn't have to be that. Like, it's literally a minute, and
you just like do 5 stars and be like, good podcast.
Yeah, and what you have to realize before you get into it is like the engagement with that sort of stuff is so low. Like with like an iTunes review, it might be like under 5% of your listenership. And that's just how humans work, I guess. And then there's some people that just listen. Like it's so, I find it so weird. There's like thousands of people that listen that I have no idea who they are. And then there's like this group of people that I hear from every 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And which makes coming to something like this, like to Celebration, so cool. But it's really weird. Like the engagement for like an iTunes review, I would say it's under 10%. And then engagement for like a Patreon would be easily under 5%. Like the Patreon thing is like awesome once it's sort of up and going and you've built up a fan base. But like, I think it's like a fool's errand to start with the goal to start a Patreon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Patreon's really hard. And the problem with that is as well, like, because it's got its own creator feed and everything, but if you have like an active Twitter account or something, people are like, why bother following Patreon if I can just follow you everywhere else, kind of thing. So you've got to like make it different. Worth it. Yeah, you got to make it worth it too.
Yeah, and I tell you, okay, if you have, you're going to start a podcast and you've got like a podcast Twitter account, I find if you are, if you listen, I try to like a couple times a week, the podcast that I've listened to, I will tweet out and go, hey, these guys dropped a sweet episode, you know, check it out. And then like that might create like some energy that then they do that for someone else. And you shouldn't be like scared to have your listeners listen to other podcasts. You should be confident in what you do. There's so many different ways to talk about Star Wars, and to worry, like to try to like, I don't want to share anything else. Like it's, I don't know. It's, you're cutting out so much fun for this game that might never happen. So just enjoy it. And, you know, someone was talking to me the other day, like here, that they're going to start a podcast. Oh, we might not have any listeners. And I'm like, well, are you going to talk Star Wars with your friends and have fun? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, like who cares? Just upload it on the internet, and if you're having a good time, but like if you're going into it with this like Patreon thing and advertising and all that, then you're just gonna hate it because it doesn't come like
it
that.
It takes a while to get there.
Yeah, really. If the intent is to get an audience or to get like famous or Patreon money or whatever, you really got to rethink where you're coming at it, because it takes so long to build those audiences organically. If you try and get at them that way, it's even harder and it takes longer. But yeah, once you have a really rich audience, and especially when you have diehard fans that are willing to like literally tweet your stuff every 5 minutes or what have you, then it becomes more engaging and more fun and easier to reach out to other audiences as well.
And I think another thing that I try to let people know is how cool that is that they do it, and how much it means to me that someone takes like a minute to write an iTunes review or read. Like it's like if all your listeners got one extra listener, then you've doubled your listenership. So like if someone's only got like, you know, I've spoken to people, they're like, I've only got 12 followers on Twitter, so I don't retweet it. And it's like, well, one of them might listen to it. And it's also like, just the spirit of it. Someone retweets, I'm like, that's sick. Like that someone like put their feed in there, or they wrote a review. I think it's so cool. And I think that the listeners don't know how empowered they are to like help the podcaster.
Well, I want to just take a few questions from the audience before we wrap up, because we're about to wrap up very soon. We'll take a couple quick questions if we can start. Yeah, right, Reacher.
Hey, I'm Carl from the Omnibus.
Thank you.
I want to thank you guys, because a lot of everybody you have there is why I started playing.
Oh, thank you, man. That's awesome.
Everybody, I've listened to all your shows.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks, man.
And you were the one that got me to change the platform I used to not broadcast from it, because you were talking about Omnibus. It's what I use as well.
Okay. Big win for the Australian stuff.
There we go.
I'm mad about it, but I'm
going to
check it out.
Don't feel so bad. I'm married to somebody from New Zealand.
Okay. Better.
But yeah, that's like, it's overwhelming to hear. The internet is like it kind of sucks, but it's like I was just like an idiot Star Wars fan in Melbourne, which is like essentially like Tatooine, like in the Star Wars world. And now I can come and like, like I've just through the podcasting thing, I've got like just amazing friends. And like I only met Saf like on Thursday. We was like seeing an old friend because we'd like listened to each other on podcasts and done podcasts together. And it, for all the like the negativity of the internet and stuff, like it does, like it's so enriching.
Are you doing this on purpose?
What do you mean? Okay. Am I saying like a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we've had the longest 2 days.
Give this guy a break. You've been going pretty hard, man.
I'm not bullying you.
I couldn't tell if it was a gag. Sorry, you know you're a troll.
But I just, you know, I'm not specifically Star Wars, I'm science fiction in general, but I have listened to all your shows and it really kind of gave me the incentive to do what I did.
Awesome. I hope you're going to be talking about Dune.
It's just, it is, I don't have a big following yet, but I've only been doing it for 8 years.
8 years? How often do you release?
Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks.
I'm a 911 supervisor in real life, so
right.
My job takes up a lot.
Yeah.
That is the best reason for not putting out too many podcasts. Yeah, yeah. It's like, where's your new podcast? Man, I'm a 911 supervisor.
You got to get that show out, though.
Send us your information and we'll share it. I know our audience would be definitely interested.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ahsoka shirt. Black Ahsoka shirt right there.
Yeah, I was wondering if you've run into any
legal issues, copyright or otherwise.
Nah. I find it's way more on YouTube. Like sometimes someone will make a clip for me and they'll accidentally use, or just not thinking, will put Star Wars music, and then you instantly get that like Sony Classic has claimed this. But I don't know, podcasting's, it's sort of the Wild West.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anyone getting in legal trouble for the music they use or anything.
It's going to happen eventually.
It's going to happen eventually, but it hasn't happened yet.
No, copyright trolls do exist, and if you're using music that you don't have the license for, eventually someone is going to buy that license with the intent of finding people using it.
Yeah.
So be very careful with the music you use. Make sure you either have a license to use it for the year, and most of the times it costs like $20 or $30 for the entire year to use music. And or have one of your best case scenario, you have someone make the music for you. That way you have consent to actually have it. But don't put like Michael Jackson on your podcast and wonder why all of a sudden you have a lawsuit.
Yeah, like on Ace Space, we used a couple songs like from things, but we actually asked the artist if we could use them first. So we got consent for those.
I had to get a Warner Brothers legal permission last night. The last
in most cases, there, as long as you...
As long as you ask.
You ask them, you're going to be all right.
Well, thank you for that question. The pink hat, yep.
Thanks for noticing. So first I was wondering if when you guys answered this question, if you could just mention the name of your podcast again. I know you're all super famous, but like I probably know. But I was wondering if you each could have like a dream guest on your show, who would you have on your show?
So dream guest, who would you have on your show?
Mark Hamill, without question. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, and my podcast is called Steel Wars, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, Mark Hamill, just because I'm a Luke guy.
Yeah. I do Rebel Girl, and my dream guest would be Ahmed Best.
Nice. I am on Rogue Podrin, Western Reaches, and I've forgotten the other one. I'm so bad at this. Blaster Cannon podcast. And my dream guest would probably be like Amy Hennig, who's doing narrative design and writing for one of the new Star Wars games, because she's an amazing game writer and I do game writing.
Mark Hamill, I guess. That was a really good answer.
You
took my answer. Well, now I feel bad about taking his answer. We already have Steel. He's already been a guest on the show numerous times, so that's already off the bucket list. Yeah, Mark Hamill, he just seems like such a cool guy. Down to earth, you can talk about, seems like anything. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. And now this is podcasting. I produce Rebel Girl. And I also do Fingered by Randy and Jason.
I love that name.
Sorry, your ass now, huh?
Yeah. The blue hat. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, I'm curious kind of what your motivation is for starting a podcast. Is it like the initial, I'm going to start a podcast. Is it to gather a following, or is it just to talk about something that you, like, you have a passion for Star Wars. What was, you know, is it daunting to start from ground zero? You know, and I mean, like, what is the motivation to start from nothing to build it up to whatever you've done?
So what was your motivation?
Oh, I was kind of lucky that I kind of just got dragged into it by other people. I really wanted to do it, and then I was writing for a site, Force Cult, which is now part of the Making Star Wars Network, and they started a podcast, and they were like, Seth, do you want to be on there? I was like, sweet. And eventually I left that and got dragged on Nelson's podcasting and other things. And my motivation was just that I really wanted to talk about Star Wars with my friends. And where I live in New Zealand, my friends are like nerds, but they're not like big Star Wars nerds like all of you guys. It was just a really good chance to just do that. I didn't really care about getting an audience or like listeners. Whenever I get told like my listener numbers, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, people actually listen to me. I have the worst accent. But it was just, I just wanted to talk and just be passionate.
Yeah, I think for me, I really wanted to share like my particular Star Wars experience. I've been very fortunate. Like the last 10 years, I've had like a close-knit group of Star Wars friends, but I remember what it was like before that. It was really, really hard to find people to talk to Star Wars about, and really hard to connect on that level. So when I had that sort of camaraderie, I wanted to share that. And so that's why me and my co-host, we've been friends for years. We're very close, and we just like to talk about it, and we like to do it in a very casual, accessible way. And I really wanted it to be something that people could just enjoy and not have to like work to understand or sort of feel like they were out of the loop. Like, we try not to do too many inside jokes or make fun of ourselves too much, but yeah, it's just, I mean, that's what everyone wants to do when they're podcasting, is they want to talk about Star Wars, they want to hear themselves talk about Star Wars, and they want to do it with their friends. And I think that's a good motivation for everyone, is just to want to share that.
Yeah, when I started the comedy podcast, it was sort of like, that was like a great way to get your name out there as a comedian. And then when Disney bought Star Wars, and my wife was living overseas, and I was just like kind of lonely, and I had all this free time, and so I thought I would start to do it, and just because I thought there was something different to add, that the stories of that sort of thing. Yeah.
Jason, him and I are probably, our whole job is to make each other laugh. So that was basically the intent of the show, just to be able to make each other laugh for about an hour.
About an hour.
Well, thank you. The Han Solo shirt?
Nice. Quick question. So I've been thinking about doing a podcast. How many episodes, and maybe I missed at the beginning, would you guys say you should have under your belt before you release it? Because I've seen some local podcasts that started and, you know, people got busy and they just stopped altogether. You know, they say, oh, it's coming back, and then a couple months go by. Is there a number you guys would say, or you just do it every week and just keep it up?
So the question was like, how long between a hiatus?
There's other questions, yeah. Like, what kind of show are you recording? Like, are you recording a news-based show? If that's the case, then you have to be consistent. You have to be on either a weekly, bi-weekly basis, and you have to stick to that. And as soon as you aren't on that weekly basis, then you drop the ball. But if you have stuff that you can backlog, and you're doing like interviews, and you can backlog them weeks on end, then yeah.
Yeah, I would say once you have one podcast, then you can release it.
Yeah,
I think the thing that would hold back a lot of people is waiting for the perfect storm of like having this set up and this, and when that person's in town, like you're never going to do it. It's like leave, if you want to start one, just say I'm going to release an episode by a date and do it by then. And it's not like your first one isn't going to be good, like. And it's going to get better, and it's on the job training, because it's not a job, you're just doing it for fun. And yeah, so that would, I like, oh, that was two in a row, that sucked. very long day. Yeah, just get into it and don't over commit yourself. If you're just going to start, maybe do, I'm going to do one a month, because that seems like an easy thing. And then once you do it more, you'll work out a workflow, ways to cheat, like copy the show note format from one to put in the other. Like, you come up with all these ways to cut corners, and then that allows you to speed up the process of putting them out. But if you say, I'm going to do a podcast a week, and the first one takes you 8 days from recording to get out, well, then it's going to like weigh on you. So give yourself like a wide berth, And then once you get like a workflow, then you can go a lot faster.
Cool, thank you for that. So we'll take one more question because I think we have to wrap it up. Go right ahead. Yeah.
I was wondering what your like show prep looks like for each of you, like what kind of notes you keep or not keep,
etc. Yeah, what kind of notes do you keep?
After being on like their notes, so many.
What are our notes like?
Pages and pages of stuff, like pictures and stuff. It's intense.
When you get sent the email, it's just like, whoa.
I would get like distracted and I'd look back and be like, oh no, I don't even know where we are anymore. I'm so lost.
The best thing is when you're like tired, because usually we record about like midnight.
Yeah.
And when you see like 35 pages, you're like, oh man, we're going to be up till 5 in the morning.
But then all of my other podcasts, at least for Rogue Quadrant, we usually have notes, except for the one time we didn't, where we had to wing the entire thing. And it was great. Because we're talking about the book, so we need our breakdowns. But like Western Reaches, we write like the number of the episodes, so we don't get that wrong. And then we're like the books we've read, and then the games we've played. And then like if we have a topic, we'll be like write like one thought in there. It's like nothing. And I've been on podcasts that have no notes. And so like they let me on. They're like, do you want to be on our podcast? I'm like, yeah. And then they bring me on. I'm like, where are your notes? And they're like, oh, we don't do them. I'm like, cool, okay. Like, it depends on who you are as a person and what you want out of your show.
And the format of the show. So if I'm doing an interview, like, I will research them and find interesting talking points, but then if I just stick to those talking points, I'm so bummed. Like, I want them to say to something, and then I react to that, and then we go off there and then come back. And then the best cheat is the call-in show, because people call in with the topics and it's like, bang. So it's literally, my prep for that one is make coffee and have enough coffee to last me an hour and a half.
Yeah, make sure you've gone to the bathroom beforehand as well, because needing to pee while you're podcasting is not fun.
Yeah.
Or it's a whole other genre. Yeah. Maybe it depends on how you look at it.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. I hope you guys took something out of it. You can find everybody on the different iTunes feeds. Their Twitter handles are all pretty much the same as their names, except the Now This Is Podcasting one. Good luck finding their Twitter handle, because I don't know what it is. But thank you all for coming, and please enjoy the rest of Star Wars Celebration. Thank you.
Cheers, you guys.
Thank you. What?
Really?
Young Luke book.
Oh, wow.
How sweet.
So that was super fun. You guys now all know how to podcast like a Jedi Master. I'm excited for tonight because we've got the Making Star Wars podcast party mashup live show. And I think we're going to show how not to podcast like a Jedi Master at that one. I hope you guys got something out of that if you have a growing interest in Star Wars podcasting. And I think, you know, one of the main things is there's no set rules of what you should or shouldn't do. There's a lot of opposing but legitimate opinions on the panel just then. But it was really cool, and we had a pretty full room, and one very suspicious man with his arms crossed with sunglasses at the back of it. But we won't go into that. But if you are new to the show and you just wanted to catch the podcasting panel, go back and check a few of our previous episodes that we've done over Celebration. As I said at the start, we've got the cast interviews, we've got my in-panel reaction to the teaser, and our in-panel reaction when John Williams was revealed. And of course, our back catalogue episodes, a few of the ones I always direct people to are the Stephen Stanton episode, where Admiral Raddus and Rebels' Tarkin tells all about how he got his voice acting roles and his Star Wars fandom. That one has been super popular. Nathan Hamill, the son of Mark, talking about what it's like to be a huge Star Wars fan when Luke Skywalker is your actual father. And Leonard Maltin. I always love that one with film critic legend Leonard Maltin talking about interviewing George for those Star Wars box sets back in the 90s. Please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, because we've got tons more Star Wars Celebration content to be recorded. Today might be a bit out of order because I want to put this as a separate episode, and then we'll have the wrap-up from the podcast party after this. If you're enjoying all the shows, please share on Facebook, Twitter, and all that good thing. We are at Steel Wars on all social media. Let's go have some more fun. May that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.